Hey, you're about to hear an interview with Asheville Mayor Esther Mannheimer. The topics of this interview are a possible new bill filed in the legislature that would split Asheville into districts for the purpose of electing city council members. We also discussed the efforts to repeal House Bill 2. Esther Mannheimer, we just learned that there could be another Asheville District's bill after the one filed by Apodaca during the last session failed. We understand this came to you in an email. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. This Tuesday, February 28th, I received an email from Senator Edwards, Chuck Edwards, who is the senator that has now assumed the seat that Senator Apodaca used to hold. And he sent me an email explaining that he planned to introduce a bill requiring that the city council seats be put into six separate council seats for the city of Asheville.
Did you see this coming?
Yes, he and I had communicated before on a couple of different occasions since his election, and he explained that he was receiving requests to continue with the effort that Senator Apodaca started to district the Asheville Council seats.
So you've had some communication with him. How have those communications gone?
Well, they're very friendly and civil. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that even though he's looking to do something that the council is not in favor of, that he's communicating with me in terms of what his plan is. I always appreciate when elected officials are able to at least have discussions around issues, even if they're in disagreement about them. So I think that's positive. He was in attendance at a meeting where there was a panel discussing districting. He and I were both there, so we took an opportunity to talk about it afterward. And he's done a good job of reaching out to me just to talk about other issues where we have some common concerns and to just check on other issues other than districting. But this has certainly come up, and he's made it pretty clear that he wants to see the city council drawn into districts. And the motivation for his email Tuesday was because he understood that the city council was going to be discussing the topic Tuesday night. Specifically, council was looking to make a decision about having some polling done of our constituents to determine whether there is interest in moving council seats into districts. And he was urging us to forego the expense of conducting the poll to gauge interest because, you know, he was explaining, I'm going to introduce this bill and this will be an inevitability, so maybe you should begin discussing more the logistics of putting the districts in place.
I see. So my initial thought when I learned of this was that, you know, we've already had this district bill fail. There hasn't been a big shakeup in the General Assembly. So my question, I guess, to you is, do you think that this is a bill that would pass the General Assembly and pass a veto threat possibly by Governor Cooper?
Well, to answer your second question first, I think this would be a local bill, and I don't know that it would be subject to veto.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Therefore, but I'm not positive. I'm just talking off the top of my head there. It's kind of funny to me whenever anybody asks the question about whether legislation will happen for sure, mm-hmm. because if there's something that is not for sure, it is legislation getting passed, whether it's in a state legislature or in Congress. I mean, you can see the process is messy and erratic, and so, you know, it's impossible to predict. You know, one of the most powerful senators, Senator Apodaca, put in a bill to put Asheville into districts, and frankly, I thought it would be a done deal, because if anyone could push through their legislation, it was him. I still went down to the legislature and testified in committee on behalf of the citizens of Asheville, and you saw Representative Ager, Turner, and Fisher work the House floor debate and really turn the tide right there on the last day of the session, and interestingly, the more far-right legislators were the ones that finally decided to come out and oppose the bill. So I wouldn't say anything is for sure, but we were told by a few legislators after Apodaca's legislation failed that we shouldn't essentially rest on our laurels, that they expected that this topic would come up again, and they urged us, in fact, to go ahead and district ourselves, which is an option under state law, allow cities to do it themselves, because they did sense that it would come back and it might be likely to pass the next time. But, you know, these are the folks offering an opinion, and there's a lot of moving parts happening right now down at the legislature, so it's hard to say what would happen for sure. But it's definitely out there and a significant possibility. I think what Senator Edwards is trying to do is he's trying to say, I'm going to require this to happen, but if you would like, I will let you participate in the process to some extent. His email says that he wants 6 districts, but would provide us some flexibility. And I read that to mean that he's making an offer to allow us to work with him to draw those districts, but that has to be the end result, that there has to be 6 districts and that it has to apply to the city council. So, you know, that's how I read that.
And what do you think about that?
Well, you know, we have 500 and however many cities in the state of North Carolina, and they're all handled differently in terms of their city councils. There are many that have districts. There are many that have a combination of districts and at-large seats. Concord, North Carolina is almost the same size as Asheville, and it's drawn into 6 districts. There are different systems where only the voters from that district can elect that district representative. There are other systems where you have districts, but the entire city gets to vote for the representative from that district. People have different opinions. Since this topic has come up, you know, folks have come up to me and said, you know, I used to live in this other city and we had districts and it worked well. And I've had other folks come up to me and say, you know, I think we're too small to be in districts. That wouldn't make sense. So, you know, this doesn't affect the mayor's seat, so I don't have a personal stake in this. You know, what I think about is the governance of Asheville and what the people of Asheville prefer in terms of that governance structure. If there is great interest in this, then I think the council, it's incumbent on the council to explore it and to work with Senator Edwards to achieve that end. But if there is not, we're going to have to do what we've been doing, which is to oppose legislation that negatively affects us and then make the decision how far we take that opposition. You know, we had this experience already with the water system and very extensive and expensive litigation, but, you know, in the end we prevailed, and I believe that it was worth it, and I think the people of Asheville believe it was worth it. So, again, we're going to have to apply that same analysis to this situation and decide what's in the best interest of the people.
Yeah, and I know the city council is going ahead with that polling. Do you think that Senator Edwards will be looking at that poll, and or do you think he's sort of discounted it already and decided, well, I'm going to go ahead with districts, whether or not the polling shows that people want it or not?
My indication from him is that he would want to move ahead with it, even if the polling is negative. And, you know, what the argument is, as I understand it, is that if you are trying to achieve representation from a minority, a majority may not support that, you know, and so folks that are advocates of this kind of districting will sometimes point to minority representation, maybe African-American representation, and they'll say, look, if you had a referendum on the issue of districts that would allow for a better opportunity for an African-American to serve in office, you might not get a majority support for a change to that sort of structure. So we've got to speak out for the minority. In this case, I think, you know, that's not the motivation for this type of districting. The motivation here is to bring a voice to council from South Asheville, where we have historically not had a representative. And we've had some folks run from South Asheville unsuccessfully. And I think the argument, as I understand it, is to bring that voice to council, and that it's necessary to push that forward even if a majority of Asheville doesn't support it because of the effort to bring a minority voice, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you have any sense of a timeline? I know that the polling is supposed to be done, I guess, by May, judging
well,
from
Well, we asked the staff to reach out to the pollster to see if we could move that up because the timeline is tight. The bill filing deadline is March 15th, so Senator Edwards will be moving ahead with his bill, you know, and then you have this parallel movement where the legislature will be working probably through at least the end of June, possibly the end of July, if history tells. So we need to have a good idea of what the results of that poll are and any other tools we use to try to determine interest from the community. And see if there is interest, then reaching out to Senator Edwards and working with him, and if there's not interest, trying to determine how best to work in opposition to the legislation.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you'll have, you know, like you said, you've done this before, so you have kind of a template.
Right. Yes. No, we've had sales tax redistribution. We've had water. We've had districts. Yes, yes, we have done this before.
So this House Bill 2 compromise bill put forward by Representative McGrady, I know it's been sort of in the newspaper as to whether or not you support this or not. I think you're not on board with how it's currently written. Can you just tell me your stance on that bill?
Yes, we had some confusion, apparently. I, along with lots of different groups across the state, put out a statement basically saying I'm encouraged that there's a bipartisan effort to find a resolution to repeal HB 2, House Bill 2. Apparently, this was accidentally reported in a legislative press release that I support the current version. So I worked to clarify that, and as of today, apparently, the House press release has been corrected. I do support a continuing negotiation to find a path to repealing HB 2. It's become a pretty convoluted and challenging task, and I don't envy the folks that are working on it. I have been trying to communicate with the mayors across the state continuously so that we can monitor it and try to be helpful in the process. But it's become such a political hot potato, I'm concerned that time is running out and the repeal will not be successful during this legislative session. But, you know, this week is critical, and I have talked to the governor's folks, and I have talked to legislative members, and as I said, mayors across the state, and I'm hopeful that we'll get across the finish line with this. You know, obviously, I would support a clean repeal of HB 2, which is where I thought we were headed, especially after Charlotte repealed their ordinance. That seemed to be the path we were on, but it's apparently become more complicated.
And what do you think about McGrady's bill? Do you have some hang-ups on certain parts of that bill?
You know, I don't fully understand all the different parts of that bill, so I can't say for sure. I think, though, that one thing that's interesting that's happened here is because of House Bill 2, apparently a clean repeal is now difficult because, for example, it needs to be made clear that universities can have authority to regulate their own facilities. As you may know, since House Bill 2 was put in place, a lot of universities have gone to great lengths to go and label their campus facilities, make sure there are available facilities for everyone, that everyone can feel comfortable on a college campus. And that all happened as a result of HB 2. And so, you know, now we're in a situation where the legislature is actually trying to find a place where they can end up allowing universities, for example, to continue that, whereas this wasn't being discussed prior to HB 2. So, in other words, a clean repeal doesn't put us in a good enough spot anymore, because now that this issue has been raised, it needs to be addressed. So it's very complicated. But I will say that if there is a silver lining to this, it's a heightened awareness and discussion around civil protections for everyone in our state. Unfortunately, it had to happen in this way, but the discussion is important.
A lot of Democrats, Darren Jackson among them, have called out the referendum part of that bill as saying that, mm-hmm. you know, this is not something that we can support. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, the referendum is problematic. Now, interestingly, there are a few cities in North Carolina, including Asheville, that already have a referendum provision in our charter. So in Asheville, if 15% of registered voters petition, they can get an issue on the ballot. I don't know what the scope of those issues are. I don't think it's everything under the sun, but they can get an issue on the ballot. Now, 15% of registered voters is a pretty high bar. you're lucky to have that many people vote in a municipal election.
That's true, yeah.
Right. So, but what the referendum says in the repeal bill is that only 10% of the number of voters that voted in the last municipal election can put on a ballot a referendum to repeal a city's non-discrimination ordinance. So, you know, in Asheville, a few hundred people could sign a petition and you would have a referendum seeking to repeal a non-discrimination ordinance passed by the city council.
And as you pointed out before, that kind of raises the issue of putting the rights of a minority up for a vote, just like in the district's bill.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, this is not an arbitrary number. The cities that have experienced these kinds of campaign issues know what it looks like. It's very nasty. There's lots of TV ads and horrifying images that try to sway folks one way or another. We had some of that, you know, during our governor race here this last election, where there were ads aimed at issues around bathrooms and things like that. So you can sort of imagine what a campaign to repeal a non-discrimination ordinance would look like. And it is not nice. And it can also skew the outcome of that election cycle with regard to other things. So it becomes a political issue. And that's not what it should be. And in my opinion, if a city council adopts a non-discrimination ordinance and enough people are upset about it, then they vote that council out of office. That's the referendum, but not the way that this present bill proposes.
I'm probably asking you to comment on something that you can't possibly know, but I know that Governor Cooper, when he introduced his repeal bill, he said that we need to do this in the month of February because of pending NCAA decisions. Do you have any sense of how much time we've got left in terms of those decisions possibly coming down the pike?
I don't. I think there are some deadlines, though, and they are very close. And the folks I talked to in the legislature are very aware of that, and they know if they don't act that this is a done deal and that we will lose, at least from the sports, on the sports front, NCAA and ACC, the games for the next 6 years. But, you know, to me, that's an important part of the story. But the other part of the story, too, is that we all of these cities, in a lot of the big cities in North Carolina, Asheville included, have economic development projects in the pipeline where the folks looking to bring business to our cities and new locations to our cities are waiting for the outcome of this repeal. In other words, these projects are on ice until this repeal happens. So there's definitely a very well-known and tangible economic development impact by continuing to fail to repeal HB2. And I think that I'd like to say it's the motivation here is for the protection of civil rights for all people, but I don't get the sense that that's necessarily the driving factor in the legislature. I think it's the very real impact from these economic development losses that we will continue to experience because of this. And it's time sensitive. There's no question about it.
All right. Well, Mayor Manheimer, I took a lot longer of your time than I had planned to. Is there anything else that you want to discuss before we get off the phone here?
No, that's it. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks.